Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After he was baptized by John, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came up to him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "All of these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." So then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. How are Episcopalians supposed to observe Lent? That is an interesting question. You know, we don't really have the best reputation when it comes to Lent. Our Christian brothers and sisters frankly think that Episcopalians are kind of soft. We say that we're the middle way, the media via between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism, both Catholic and Reformed. But you know, sometimes we're also seen as Catholic light, a watered-down version. All the church, but none of the guilt. And you know, on the other hand, during Prohibition era, our teetotaling Methodist brothers and sisters used to call Episcopalians whiskey-palians. I cannot imagine why. So yes, perhaps we deserve some of that easygoing reputation. I mean, doesn't the fact that today we lost an hour of sleep because the daylight savings change happened during Lent, doesn't that count as some sort of Lenten discipline? Now, we've all heard it said by Episcopalians that we take our worship seriously, we don't take ourselves seriously. But this raises the question of Lent. How should we observe it? How should we take our observance of Lent seriously? And we know from today's gospel reading that the Lent period of 40 days mirrors Jesus' own 40 days in the wilderness, preparing for the walk to Calvary. During that time, Jesus prayed, he fasted, and he contemplated his future, the divine plan of salvation that was to come at so high a cost with the passion and the crucifixion. And we are also told that the devil tempted Jesus in the desert three times. First, Jesus was famished from fasting, and the devil tells him that if he is the Son of God, turn the stones to bread. And Jesus responds by saying that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. You see, in spite of Jesus' hunger coming out of this extended time when he was focusing on the will of God, The easiest temptation of all is the belly. But Jesus responds that while sustenance is necessary, the appetites of the human body are not enough to make a full life. Being filled, they do not satisfy the soul. God and only God satisfies our spirit, our soul. In the second instance, the tempter takes Jesus to Jerusalem, the holy city, and to the very top of the temple. Jesus, we imagine, is precariously placed at the very highest point at the spiritual center of the Jewish universe. You see, the devil heard Jesus about the word of God, so he has brought him to God's house. And he says, if you are the Son of God, jump, and as scripture tells us, the angels will catch you. Now, the devil is doing two things here. In his first temptation, he appealed to the appetite. Now he is appealing to the desire for self-preservation, the desire not to get hurt. But he is doing it in such a way that invokes scripture to make it seem that the desire for self-preservation and the spiritual are the same in this case. And Jesus again upbraids the tempter and says, do not put God to the test. Now finally, Satan takes Jesus to a high mountain and points all around to all the kingdoms and all the splendor of the world and says, if you bow down to me, all of this will be yours. Here, the temptation is not to appetite nor to self-preservation. It is to money and power. All the money and all the power in the world. Imagine that. Richer than Bill Gates. More powerful than the president if he had a Congress that went along with him. Now, Jesus again resists, and he responds to the devil and says, worship the Lord your God and serve only God. That is, all the power, all the money in the world are nothing compared to God and to following God's will. What is happening in this scripture is that Jesus, who has just finished 40 days fasting in the wilderness, is very vulnerable. He's weak in body. But his time in the wilderness has also steeled his spirit. The devil comes and pokes at his vulnerabilities, which are all human vulnerabilities in ascending order. The belly first, the desire not to get hurt, power, money, glory, ego. In each case, the underlying temptation is to put human desire and values in the place of God. Yet, in spite of the vulnerability and in spite of the temptation, Jesus resists. Each response to the devil is not about him. It is about God. Now, what does this say to us at the beginning of our Lenten journey? First, remember the obvious, and that is that we are not Jesus. But Lent is a symbolic walking with Jesus over 40 days, and there are some important things that we can take away to inform that journey. Like Jesus, this is a time of stripping away, a time of disengaging with the ways of the world, its value system that relies on things, its value system that appeals to consumption and self-edification. This is a time during Lent to be especially conscientious of keeping God first and not us first, which, because of our sinfulness, our fallen human nature, seems to be the default mode of humanity. Now, part of this is to be thoughtful of the ways that we are tempted and to exercise restraint and to turn our eyes towards God and have our actions serve God and not self. So, all this gets back to the question raised at the beginning. All of this sounds like a lot of hard work. And after all, we're Episcopalians, right? So where is the out? Can't we just take something on rather than give something up? And the answer is no. It's supposed to be hard. It's Lent, dummy. And it's not just about giving something you like up as a symbolic sacrifice. If we really want to know what Episcopalians should do during Lent, open up the Book of Common Prayer. You know, it's the other one that's not the hymnal in the pews. And open up to the Ash Wednesday service and read the admonition for Lent. Following Jesus, Episcopalians are told to do three things during Lent. One, self-reflection, what I call a sort of moral self-inventory during Lent, leading to repentance for our sins. Two, additional prayer. Now it says additional, assuming that we're already praying. So additional prayer, fasting, and self-denial. That's number two. And number three is increased additional reading and meditating on God's holy word. Keeping these three things, repentance, mortification, praying, and reading the Bible, keeping these three things in mind will help us to keep focused, and with God at the center, we will be stronger to resist temptation and truly prepared to meet with joy the resurrected Jesus on Easter morning. Amen.